Mark in the Morning comes to you from the studios of 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. In Southern California, hear it happen live without a net from 6 to 10 a.m. Weekdays on 100.3 FM.
Beginning November 13th, brighten your holidays at the Disneyland Resort during the Diamond Celebration. Sail into a small world holiday and catch the Paint the Night Parade after dark at Disneyland Park. Over at Disney California Adventure Park, enjoy the festive World of Color Winter Dreams and cruise into wacky holiday fun in Cars Land. The happiest place on earth just got merrier.
Yes. These are the first notes of the first song of Mark in the Morning on Thursday, November, whatever it is. Yes, yes. All right, we got a good one today. Sal Cerencioni. Well, other than Sal, we got a good one.
Wow.
Sal joins us for the latest in classic rock news. We speak with Grace Slick. And in the meeting after the show yesterday, a lot of people are saying she's nuts. Is she nuts? Quirky?
Reportedly, she's a little offbeat.
Okay.
All I know is she shot somebody's car because the alarm kept going off.
Well, who among us hasn't?
I read something where back in the Jefferson Airplane days, the bandmates had to take turns banging her.
Oh.
Huh.
Because she had to be taken care of, and they all just took turns doing it, and nobody seemed to want to.
Lead off with that question.
Hey, go back and look at some pictures. She was pretty hot.
Oh, there's no question. She was, one of them, she was standing on stage with her top down, just breasts out.
Love
go, Grace.
I love that about her.
Today, we're making Pruno. I had never heard of it. Apparently, you can make it. It's prison liquor. And so we're going to get all the ingredients, and it has to ferment for like a week.
It takes like 7 days or something.
All right.
Now, if you want it to be really nice.
I've got the top 27 number one Beatles songs, according to Britain, and they've ranked them 27 to number one. I'll get you down to the top five, and then you can guess. And there's a fun fact involved in that. I love it. Andy returns with day two of his greatest bass players of all time. Today, number 10 through number 6. And we ask the question, what did you steal as a kid? We're going to slice off some business. On the other side, people who smoke weed have better sex and more of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the details in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning.
Whack it to back it.
According to a new study, men who smoke pot have better and more frequent sex.
Huh.
And this was no small study. Researchers took a look at over 500,000 young adults and found that a staggering 14% of them smoke weed every day, and they reported having sex several times a day.
A day?
Mm.
On the other hand, only 5% of those who had never smoked the weed reported getting some loving multiple times in a day. Daily cannabis smokers were also found to have had more sexual partners.
Hmm.
So let's all roll one up and poke it.
Oh my God.
I got to tell you.
Mike, you grab that drop.
My sinuses are absolutely beating me to death. We've had a ton of rain, and now the wind is up.
Mm.
And Linda looked at the allergy chart. It's at 100%.
Oh.
Mm.
It is absolutely chewing me. So I apologize. I'm doing that crap because it's everywhere. It's
windy
over
here, too, by the way.
Jesus.
The pollen and, yeah.
By the way, if you remember, we spoke with Rob Arthur. We played Shambhala that he recorded.
Yes.
Rob is Peter Frampton's keyboard player. Rob, I'd mentioned maybe Rob and Peter coming on the show. Rob called Peter right after we had finished, and Peter's super excited to come in and maybe play a little bit, hang out, and you're going to fall. You guys ever met him?
Nope.
No.
Best dude in the world.
He seems really cool.
I was talking to him at the rehearsal for the last Mark and Brian Christmas show, and he had just gone through a divorce, and I said, what happened? And he just held up his guitar, and he said, I have a mistress, and it's this.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he
was having sex with his guitar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes, he was.
Sure, it's painful, better,
but really hot.
Interesting.
So anyway, he'll be in. Now, If you just joined us, if you didn't hear yesterday, Gina, and this is a shock, and it reminded me, the girl, the lady that I dated in college, her name is Karen. Mm-hmm. She was, what, 20, 21 at the time. She had never had a cavity. Gina goes her entire life, no cavities.
Not one.
She goes to the dentist the other day. She's got three.
Now, do you think, I know people are thinking I'm insane because cavities are not a big deal, but do you think I should get a second opinion?
No.
Are you sure? Gina, this can't be.
Gina, what? This isn't cancer or, you know, heart transplant. This is a freaking cavity. Now, she booked it. She booked the appointment for the 22nd of December, and we're all going to be gone for the holidays. And I asked her to try to move it so that we can broadcast live from her dental cavity opening.
Yeah, let me tell you how that conversation went.
Yep.
Called the dentist, and the receptionist picked up, and I said, this is going to be hard to explain, so just carve out a few minutes for me. I'm on a morning radio show, and I know I just got a cavity diagnosis and wanted to know if we could do it live on the show, and I made it clear that it was a radio show, and the first response I get was, we don't allow cameras in here.
More. Not a camera.
So clearly, she's not listening.
God.
I said, no, it's radio. And she goes, yeah, we don't allow cameras. I go, may I speak to your supervisor? So nobody else was in. I will try to get to the bottom of this soon.
You need to go straight. Do you have a good relationship with the dentist?
Well, I'm new. I'm the new patient. This is like my third time there.
We may have to find somebody else.
Okay.
Another dentist.
Let's go to Tijuana.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody. Let's bring a dentist in.
Your health is going to take a back seat to whether or not we can get this on the radio.
Well, do you like this dentist or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Talk to the dentist.
Okay.
It's his practice.
All right.
So anyway, Andy gets this email yesterday. Mr. Chandley, I know a secret that you can share with Gina that will allow her to have dental work done without Novocaine.
Ooh.
Trust me on this. Squeeze the center of your earlobe as tightly as possible and keep squeezing for a while. You will feel that side of your jaw go numb. This works on both sides. Gina should go to the dentist with a couple of cotton balls and clothespins. The cotton is to pad the clothespins as they pinch the center of her earlobes. You should put them on a few minutes before she has work done and should get through it without any issues. It won't help the sound of the drilling, but that's just noise and it won't harm her. She can try this at home before she goes to see if it works for her. If she doesn't feel it's working, she can always get the Novocaine. P.S. Half the reason why dentists use Novocaine is that they can hurry through the procedure without having to be gentle, allowing them to do more procedures in a day and make more money.
Mm.
To be gentle, they have to go slower, and that means make less money. Sincerely, David.
Well, thank you, David, but it also means we get the damn filling done sooner, which I'm also fine with.
Squeeze your earlobe.
Yeah, oh, that'll be great.
I want to see you walking around with cotton balls and clothespins on your
if it works. But, you know, they also say, like, if you have a headache, squeeze the middle of your hand or do this or that. I'm not really into acupressure, but I am into drugs. So I will keep that in mind for another time, David. Thank you.
On the other side of business, we lost a beetle, apparently. And I learned from this. I didn't realize this guy even existed. And Keith has called us from Hawaii. Ooh. All of that's in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. I learned something about the Beatles that I didn't know. Andy White, who played drums on the Beatles' first single, Love Me Do, has passed away. The BBC reports that the veteran London session player passed away Monday at his home in New Jersey after a stroke. He was 85. Eager for the newly signed Beatles' first 45 to succeed, producer George Martin used White on Love Me Do when it was recorded October 62. Ringo played tambourine.
Wow.
And his feelings were hurt.
Yeah. The results spoke for themselves. Although Ringo took over on subsequent sessions, White, who was apparently used on the album version of Please Please Me as well. White was also included on Tom Jones' breakthrough hit, It's Not Unusual.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I thought Ringo played on all of them.
Oh, no, I didn't know he played on this.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
All right, we got phone action on the other side of the cars. We're going to talk with Keith. He's buzzed us from Hawaii. Just wants to say hi. And Suzanne, a dental assistant, has buzzed.
Uh-oh.
That's on the other side of the cars. Bye-bye, love. This is Mark in the Morning.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, and last night, Conan O'Brien had Lou Diamond Phillips, Richie Valens, on the show, and he's in the new movie 33 with Antonio Banderas.
Yes.
It's about the Chilean miners that got stuck for 69 days. And we didn't know that Lou had a thing for Antonio Banderas, and he actually does a really good Antonio Banderas impression, and he gets why the ladies like him. Play it.
Let me tell you, ladies, I get it now. I get it. This is what it's like to do a scene with Antonio Banderas. Lou. If I may call you Lou. We are going to be doing a very intimate scene. We are going to take off our shirts. And we are going to be very dirty and sweaty. We are going to touch each other in a manly way. And the panties come right off. Antonio Banderas. Antonio Banderas is the Pied Piper of panties.
The Pied Piper of panties, yes. That's incredible. So,
but why were you wearing panties?
Yeah, why were you wearing panties?
Yeah, leave it up to Andy Richter to make the big punch there. There you go. There's Mike TV.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
I've always had a question. Somebody's missing an advertising opportunity. Whoever has Blue Diamond walnuts, why don't they get Lou Diamond to be the Blue Diamond spokesperson? It writes itself.
It does.
You're constantly thinking. I love it. All right, so we've been talking about Gina, and she's got three cavities. Suzanne, who is a dental assistant, has called. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Really good. So you have called to say what?
Well, I have called to say that this is day two that I'm sitting back listening to all these horrible things that you guys are saying about dentistry. And Mark, shame on you, because it's not that bad.
Well,
it's really not that bad.
I'm not afraid of dentists. I never have been, but there's nothing pleasant about it.
And Suzanne, I am afraid of dentists. No offense.
And you know, I've been in the dental field for over 20 years, and I am a horrible dental patient myself. But I have to say, it sounds like you're a new patient in this office. And there's different theories with dentists in regards to filling cavities and when do you go ahead and fill them and how long do you let them wait. Honestly, I would get a second opinion if I were you.
That's what I said.
I mean, is the cavity between the teeth?
Yes.
Is it on the chewing? Okay, between the teeth, so it's what we call like a flossing cavity.
Yes, yes.
Those little cavities can sit dormant for years if you keep flossing and you know, brushing and regular dental care. I would definitely get a second opinion.
So I should have sucked on those sugar cubes just to say, well, screw it, it doesn't matter now anyway.
Yeah.
Suzanne, have you ever had sex in the dental chair?
Oh my God.
Oh.
You have.
Oh, there's silence.
Oh, wow.
Was it with a patient?
No.
Was it with the dentist?
No.
Was it with a husband or boyfriend?
Yeah, you know, we get the keys to the office. We've all been there.
We've all been there, Mark.
I'm going to start taking my own personal wipes into
it. Yeah,
I think that would be awesome.
You wipe the instruments down after, right?
Yeah, right.
Now, how many times have you done it?
Oh, goodness. I'm not saying two.
Wow, nice.
More than 10?
No, not more than 10.
I want you to say, hi. My name is Suzanne, and I'm a dental slut.
Oh.
All right. My name is Suzanne, and I'm a dental slut.
Wow. That is awesome.
She's definitely earned something from the booty box.
Suzanne,
Mark,
where do you come down on earlobe pinching?
No, they ain't buying it.
I love the fact that it's not even 6:30 and we've already talked to a whore. It's a good day now, isn't it?
Hey, us whores, we start early, okay?
Suzanne, we're going to give you anything you want from the booty box. We appreciate you listening and appreciate you coming.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon. We will slice off business, and then we'll get to Keith. He has called from Hawaii. Just wants to say what's up. That's right in 5 minutes. It's Mark in the Morning. And your chance to win $1,000 is this morning at 8 straight up. Keith has called us from Hawaii. Keith, what part of Hawaii you live in?
I live on Oahu. My part of Hawaii is Mililani Town.
Ooh.
And is it true what they say, you sometimes get island fever?
Island fever? No. In fact, I'm planning on transplanting to the mainland.
Mm. So yes, no, it is true.
Are you anywhere near Mount Wanahakalugi?
Huh?
Nothing.
Don't even listen
There's
to
no
it.
There's no good radio stations here, so I only listen to the sound.
I got to tell you, I was in Hawaii, and it was weird. I was in Hawaii during the fall, and Monday Night Football starts at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keith's an early riser, because it's what, 3:30 there?
It's 4.
4.
What are you doing up? It's,
huh.
On the half hour.
I'm getting ready to go to work.
Uh-huh. What do you
and,
do?
I work in a school. I work at, I'm a cook at the school.
Oh, nice.
At high
well,
school.
Is there any particular reason for the call other than to say hi?
Just wanted to say hi to aloha to Gina and Jackie.
Aloha,
and,
Keith.
And aloha.
Andy and
you're not you know, missing anybody.
My brother's a dentist, and you know I'm terrified of needles too.
Yeah.
And what he does is he'll kind of shake my lip when he injects the needle.
Oh, yeah, to distract you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that.
Okay.
I want to be treated like a toddler. That's a good... No, that for real. I need all the distractions I can get.
My dentist takes his thumb and rubs hard the spot where he's about to put the needle in.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. All right, yeah, Keith, I got to go. But listen, thank you for listening and thank you for calling.
Bye, Keith.
On the other side of Heart of Rock and Roll, Huey Lewis in the News, we give you Sal with the latest in classic rock. Oh, wait a minute. Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Grad.
All right. Sounds good. Well, a screenwriter has taken out a full page ad in the Hollywood Reporter to pitch another Die Hard sequel. This costs thousands of dollars, by the way. If you need to pee, consider holding it till you get to Colorado, because the state's Eagle Town Park has been voted the best restroom to use in the country.
Wow.
It looks like an old mine shaft, and the entire bathroom or a lot of the stuff in it was built with a 3D printer.
Wow.
Crazy. And here's what's trending in sports. The Dallas Mavericks beat the Clippers last night, but just barely, with a score of 118 to 108. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, we have rock and roll news with Sal Cerenzioni. But first, my favorite little Huey Lewis. This is Mark in the Morning.
We are now joined by Sal Cerenzioni. Sal works for the Premier Radio News and Prep, and he has for us the latest in the world of classic rock. Sal, it's all yours.
All right, well, let's start with a little Eric Clapton. Don't know when the next time he'll be recording a new album, but sadly, as people who he has been close to in his life seem to be passing away, he actually takes out his guitar and pays tribute to them with a little acoustic number. This past Monday, we lost the New Orleans legend Alan Toussaint, and Alan had played on Clapton's 2010 album, simply titled Clapton. He played piano on two Fats Waller songs, and of course, Clapton was very moved by having him on the album and saddened to hear of his passing. And when he did pass on Monday in Spain, Clapton, like I said, took out the acoustic guitar and he laid this down. Check this out. That's simply titled Alan T. Alan Toussaint, taken from us much too early, died Monday, age of 77, while on tour in Spain.
Sal?
Mark?
Next story.
I'm enjoying the music. Actually, it's a little low in my cans.
Little
because
strutter.
Clapton. Yeah, Clapton was loud, but okay. All right. Gene Simmons, he actually did something good, but got into a little trouble for it the other night in Beverly Hills. He hosted his first ever Children Matter Gala. This was, as I said, Saturday in Beverly Hills. It's for the Children Matter Foundation that he started, which is to obviously help children all around the world. But as the party progressed, he decided that he would get up and perform a little bit, and that, of course, upset the neighbors there in Beverly Hills, who called the cops, and they came, and Gene was told to quiet it down, so he actually took off his guitar and turned it over to a DJ for the rest of the night. So, but apparently, I guess the DJ must have been playing at a low volume. I can't imagine how loud Simmons could have been with no band. It was just him and another guitar player, but so be it. And speaking of the Children Matter Foundation, here's what Gene has to say about that.
Everybody's very lucky in this town because everybody's got money. And I'm sorry, you can't keep it all. There are children around the world who, just with the luck of the draw, are born in the wrong place at the wrong time, don't have enough food, have bad health care, and so on. And it's the least everybody can do. So having a party like this with all the beautiful people and all that, trust me, I'm going to get in there and take all their money and give it to the kids who need it. I'm not shy at all. And that's what it's about. TheChildrenMatter.ngo.
Well said.
Yeah. Well, Gene's a prolific speaker.
Mark, this is my story, please. Thank you. Anyway, Andy Chanley was supposed to be in London last night, and here's what he missed, folks. It was the Classic Rock Roll of Honor Awards. These awards are given out by the Classic Rock magazine. It's a British-based magazine, and this is always a good award show. It's kind of low-key, but you get all these great classic rock artists who will show up, and last night was no exception. Jimmy Page was on hand. Led Zeppelin won for Best Reissue for that whole catalog reissue campaign that Jimmy had undertaken. Alice Cooper was there, classic album for his Welcome to My Nightmare release. Nils Lofgren was also in the house. He was awarded Outstanding Contribution. And Brian May from Queen was there to pick up the Living Legend Award. And here's what he had to say about winning this big, or being granted this big honor.
It's the bee's knees of the evening. It's the last event of the evening. And I think Classic Rock have given us every other award in the book. So this is like complete. This completes the display on the mantelpiece, I think. So I'm very chuffed, very chuffed.
And he's for chuffed. Those who don't know, yes, chuffed means very pleased.
Sal Cerincione works. He is the senior editor for Premier Radio News and Prep. And Sal, have a great week. We'll see you next Thursday.
Sounds good. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
We'll slice off a little bit of business. Apparently, Kim Kardashian has gained quite a bit of weight with her pregnancy, which basically means there's more to love. But we will... Oh, that's right.
All done with business.
I thought there was another... Okay, good, good. Stay where you are. It's on the other side of this thing. This is Mark in the Morning.
It's a Stones Man.
Stones Man. Stones.
Well, don't you know that other kids are starving in Japan, so eat it.
Kanye West loves Kim Kardashian, and now there's a lot more of his wife to love. She tweeted that she has gained 52 pounds.
Whoa.
During her second pregnancy, and she's still more than a month away from her due date. She wrote, okay, I'm 52 pounds up today, and I've still got 6 weeks to go. So I got my work cut out for me. Now, you guys know Skeeter. You know she's this little bitty thing. With her first pregnancy with Matt, she gained 55 pounds.
Wow. And she's a teeny tiny
one. That's like half her weight.
She was, we lived in a rental in Birmingham, Alabama at the time, and our next door neighbor was almost exactly pregnant to the day that Linda was. So every afternoon, Linda and Dee was her name, they would take a walk. And I was so impressed, and I told her, I said, that is awesome. You know, you're getting out there socializing, and you're trying to keep it. I found out years later that she and Dee every day would walk to the ice cream shop to have a snack.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Might explain one or two of those pounds.
But that's the thing. I mean, I've never had kids, and I don't really know how, you know, Well, I was going to say, I don't know how it works. I know how it works, but...
When a man and woman love each other, they come together in a special kiss.
Thank you, Andy. But isn't 50 pounds, like, isn't that what women gain?
No.
No?
That's a lot.
That's you run the risk of gestational diabetes, that kind of stuff.
Well, a good friend of mine, when she was pregnant, she didn't really even gain an ounce. She was just one of those long, tall, you know, gorgeous drinks of water. And she said, you know, people say I'm eating for two, but you're basically needing the calories that are in an extra yogurt every day. You don't need an extra pizza. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound like fun.
Well, it's also true that the husband gains weight with his wife.
Sympathy eating. That's why I'm a big tub of goo.
While she's mowing, so is he.
And it doesn't stop. After if you breastfeed, then that takes a ton of calories. Mm. Oh, you can eat whatever you want and you're still hungry.
Wait, I'm listening again.
Yeah. You should become a wet nurse.
Thank you.
Now, you may want to Google this. I'll just basically tell it. A Louisiana guy works at a car wash. So he's inside the actual car wash with the big brushes and the whatever.
Sure.
And he is got a hose and he's spraying everything down. He's cleaning it. He starts to back up and he's got the hose in his hand. The hose gets tangled up in the giant sponge, the rotating thing.
Yeah.
It wraps him up with it, and he goes in circles for 20 seconds until somebody sees it and shuts
video?
The machine up. Yeah.
Oh, I want
to
see that.
I'm about to turn it on. We're going to have to post this at Mark in the Morning on Facebook.
Yeah, he's okay. It just, you know, it took him for a spin, and those things are strong. It didn't give up.
Wow.
This is awesome.
Oh, you get it? You watching it?
Yeah. Oh, God.
All right, these 2 feet are going to jump into Andrew's Classic Rock Time capsule. It's brought to you by my buddy Patrick at Bristol Farms. Keeping it local since 82.
It's time to open Andy's Classic Rock Time capsule.
That's right.
He's still going.
Let's open it up. It's Andy's Classic Rock Time capsule for Thursday, November the 12th, 2015. Here's your quiz today. Today in 1931... Abbey Road Studios opens. But what is the building originally built to be? Is it a residence, a brothel, a convent, a schoolhouse, or do they make it as a recording studio? The answer will be yours soon, but think about it. 1966 on this day, the event happened that inspires Buffalo Springfield's For What It's Worth. What do you guess it is? A Vietnam protest? Race riot? No, if you're a local person of a certain age, you may remember the Sunset Strip riots, which are about a curfew.
Oh.
Yeah. See, residents up there don't like the young toughs carousing until all hours in the neighborhood that's around the Sunset Strip. So they get a 10 p.m. curfew pushed through, which basically shuts down some clubs like Pandora's Box is one of them. So today in 1966, hundreds of young people, including young people Jack Nicholson and Peter Fonda, hundreds of young people come out and they protest this action, and the police reportedly get a little liberal with their batons. So Stephen Stills is watching this, and he writes this song right here.
If everybody's wrong, young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind.
The story is also that the title, For What It's Worth, comes from a song meeting he has with Atlantic Records chief Ahmet Erdogan. He sits down and he's playing songs for him, and he says, well, I've also got this song, For What It's Worth. And Ahmet likes the song, and he actually likes that for a title. So there you go. Let's see. It is on this day in 1968 that a British record chain refuses to stock Jimi Hendrix's Electric Ladyland album. Why? Drug references? No, it's the cover art. The original cover art features 21 naked women perusing the album liner notes. Some of them are pretty dang hot, too. So Jimmy has the good sense to change that cover before the U.S. release.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow miss you.
A little out of tune there, Paul. But today in 2002, Paul McCartney raises the ire of Beatles fans. How's he do that? He has the gall to change the writing credit on the Beatles songs he wrote on this Back in the U.S. album from Lennon McCartney to McCartney Lennon. How dare you, sir? Good day. I said good day. I got some birthdays today, including some Hall of Famers like Neil Percival Young, 70 years old. his leader of his backing band for a little while, Booker T. Jones of Booker T. and the MGs, 71. And Blue Oyster Cult's Buck Dharma is 68. That's one of the greatest names in all of rock and roll, Buck Dharma. All right, so Abbey Road opens on this day in 1931, a building originally built as a residence, whorehouse, convent, schoolhouse, or recording studio. Mark?
Convent.
Yep, definitely convent.
It is a home.
Oh.
A big home, a 9-bedroom Georgian townhouse, and it's on the road to Kilburn Abbey. That's why it's on Abbey Road. Later converted to apartments and then turned into a recording studio by the Gramophone Company that changes its name to EMI. Beatles, of course, the most popular clients, but did you know there are 3 decades of classical and pop music made in there before the Beatles ever show up? And some pop music, of course, recorded after the Beatles show up. Some, including like Pink Floyd and Badfinger, who, in fact, I'm going to let play us out on this classic rock time capsule. You are listening to Mark in the Morning.
Now, we have spent the last couple of minutes speaking with a rock icon, a legend. Grace Slick is joining us, and she is just as entertaining on the air as she is off the air. Good morning, Grace. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I was just talking about, you guys said when you called me, well, we're going to do a legal ID right now, and I thought, legal ID? And I had an illegal ID when I was 15. So, you know, and I'm so old that I wrote it out by hand. It was from one of the southern states. And you just write in your name and your age, and that's it. And I'd go into my southern accent, and it worked. And women have it better than men because we can get all dressed up all hookery and stuff. And, you know, so it... You guys have it a little rougher because, you know...
Oh, I can dress up all hookery.
Preach it, sister.
Now, we're going to be talking about Grace's art in just a minute because that's what she's doing, and there's an exhibit coming up. But, Grace, you were with Jefferson Airplane back... when it was just the beginning of stuff. What is one of the greatest memories that you have of that very special time in rock music?
Terror. I had to go on stage. The girl who was singing before me, Signe Anderson, had to leave early, or she was sick, or I don't know, something happened. And I had to go on before I was really ready. I want to practice my brains out. And I went on stage, and we didn't have monitor speakers then. I had no idea what I was sounded like because we were so loud that I was just kind of singing blind, if you will, singing deaf. And when I listened to it afterward, I was right. It was awful. But, you know, but that's what happens when you first start stuff. You're probably not all that great at it.
You once said, I don't believe anybody should be on a rock and roll stage after 40. And you honestly
that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and you did step away.
Well, I stepped away when I was 50, which is 10 years too late. You know, because I was basically what I was doing is just imitating myself. And it was not my band. I've always been part of a band. It's not Linda Ronstadt and the Twirlies or something. You know, it's Jefferson Airplane or Jefferson Starship. So I can't tell everybody here, look, here's what we're going to be doing the next tour. I just did more or less what everybody was doing, which was other people's cornball songs. Now, they all went to number one. But I'd rather not have any number ones and have stuff that the band wrote rather than having other people write the stuff. Professional songwriters, Diane Warren, Bernie Taupin, you know, people like that. And people like those songs. I thought they were silly.
You know,
and getting up and singing songs that you don't believe is just a tad painful.
You know, I've always been entertained by some of your quotes. You once said, I used to do drugs and drink, but I gave it up because it stopped working anyway.
Well, yeah. at a certain point, it doesn't work the way it did before. There are receptors in the brain. The alcohol receptors are slightly different from the opiate receptors. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I heard a doctor, I was in a rehab, and he was talking about... receptors and blah, blah, blah. And I've noticed that people who really went crazy with any of that stuff have either burned out or something happens to the receptors. And you need more and more and more just for one thing. And pretty soon they don't even work very well. And you can't kill pain anymore. Mm. You know, for those people who are in physical pain, it doesn't work anymore. And that's really scary.
Hey, Grace,
You know, the chemistry changes. And for me, the chemistry hadn't changed yet, but I'm such a jerk when I drink that it was more obvious on the outside than it was on the inside. I never had liver problems or anything, but I'm such a jerk that, you know.
Grace, George Harrison... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we're talking with Grace Slick. Go ahead.
George Harrison said that, you know, the fans gave everything. They gave their vocal cords and all of that, but the Beatles gave their central nervous systems. Do you feel like that was part of the drug part of it, that maybe you were self-medicating?
Three of us from Airplane who have been sober for a while now, me and Jack and Yorma, but I don't know... I don't know about Marty. He may not be an alcoholic addict. Jack, Yorma, and I are, you know, not good at it. But we got out, I think, in time. The only stuff I have now, physical bad stuff, doesn't have anything to do with alcohol. You know, it's just old age and some other stuff. But it's not alcohol related. No. So we are lucky. And we still, you know, we still have more or less whatever brains we had when we came in.
Grace has,
which may not be saying much. But, you know.
Grace has the Grace Slick art exhibit. It's coming up November 21st at the Mr. Musichead Gallery on Sunset. And it says, since stepping off the stage years ago, Grace has been busy developing her communication through art. What kind of art are we going to see when we come?
I'm not sure what my... I have an art agent, oddly enough, that artists have agents. That always seems to me to be a music business thing, but that's all I knew. I never know. I let him set up the shows and put whatever he wants because he knows more about selling stuff than I do. I just do the song or I do the painting and then I send it to him and he decides. Because I've done all kinds of different things. Some of them are, I do very few, but I've done landscapes. There's pictures of animals. There's something he's got with the Golden Gate Bridge. There's pictures of rock icons, people that were mostly in my generation. And I'd like to do Eminem. I'd like to do the kids now, too. I call them kids because they are, as far as from my point of view.
It is the Grace Slick Art Exhibit, November 21st, Mr. Musichead Gallery, 7420 West Sunset. Grace, I don't think we could have enjoyed our conversation with you more. It's fantastic. And we may call you back one day.
Well, thanks for having me on.
The best to you, Grace, and thanks for all the great music.
All right, thank you.
Here's Bad Company. This is Mark in the Morning. Plus, on the other side, we've got the top 27 number one Beatles songs. Try to guess what the top five are, and I'm going to let you do that. This is Mark in the Morning. Paul Rogers and the Boys, Bad Company. This is Mark in the Morning. Now, Andrew has brought his guitar, which means he has prepared something nice for us. He has it strapped to his body. Andrew, if you would.
Okay, well, I heard all this, you know, Christmas stuff that you're starting to seep into stuff, and I thought we should have a Christmas song, but then I thought we should have something that has bells on it, you know, sleigh bells. Mm-hmm. But I can't play sleigh bells and play the guitar at the same time, so what I've done is I've strapped them to the headstock of my guitar.
He really has.
Yeah. So I'm going to see how this works out. I'm raising the difficulty level, but I'm going to try to play the sleigh bells while I'm playing guitar and see how that goes. This is a very marky Christmas. It's Christmas round the corner, gather near, heed my warning. It's only weird to have no snow if you're not Californian. So let the little twinkle lights your palm tree be adorning. Here's a Yuletide wish from Mark in the Morning. Oh, Christmas time, please come. And if you can't come, then can you fake it? 'Cause we all need some Christmas cheer. or how the hell we ever gonna make it. Mark trims up the Christmas tree, hangs stockings in the morn, cries remembering when Katie Ames and Matt were born. But before you worry, Mark will spend the season so forlorn, he gets back in the spirit with Skeeter and some porn. Oh, Christmas time, everybody sing. Please come, and if you can't come, then can you fake it? 'Cause we all need some Christmas cheer, or how the hell we ever gonna make it? Andy's made an order for a living Christmas tree. Laura hangs his balls up there for everyone to see. Vivian's unconscious still, but cute as she can be. And Silas says, if Mark says something silly, please tell me. Oh, Christmas time, please come. And if you can't come, then can you fake it? 'Cause we all need some Christmas cheer, or how the hell we ever gonna make it? Jackie, Todd, and Josh, and Cody tie it with the bow. Dave Beezing is the PD, Peter Burton's our big toe. Christian is dissecting Jingle Bells and Let It Snow. And Gina, Mike, and Danny all get Chinese food to go. Oh, Christmas time, please come. And if you can't come, can you fake it? 'Cause we all need some Christmas cheer, or how the hell we ever gonna make it? Yeah, how the hell we ever gonna make it? Pick the finish.
Nice.
Oh. Kind of forgot the bells halfway through, but yeah.
Okay. That was awesome.
Well, I was at Cracker Barrel, and I bought some. And I was running around trying to find them. I don't know where I put them.
Your sleigh bells?
I bought sleigh bells.
We're good. We're good on sleigh
bells. No need.
Got it. Got you covered, dude.
Andy? Oh,
I was going to help you, but these aren't the right bells, right? It's like a cowbell.
1059.
That was great, Andy.
Andy, I have a newfound respect for you. That was amazing. That was the best thing you've ever done.
Wow.
That's a genuine Mark in the Morning Christmas song.
And he's including your entire body of work.
Yes.
My entire
everything you have ever done.
That was really, really
nice. That was the highlight of your life right there.
We're going to be playing that through December as a song, as a
record.
So
you've been warned now.
All right, we're going to slice off business. On the other side, environmentalists say you shouldn't rake your leaves. And why didn't you tell my father that before he made me do it every freaking year? We'll come back with that in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. Environmentalists are saying that raking leaves is terrible for the environment. Bagging up leaves and throwing them away destroys habitats for small animals like chipmunks and turtles and fills up landfills. According to the National Wildlife Federation, leaves and other yard debris make up 33 million tons of solid waste.
Wow.
So here are the alternatives. Turn the leaves into mulch by shredding them with a lawnmower. They'll break down more quickly, or rake the leaves up and save them to use as compost for your garden. Don't burn them, since the smoke they create contributes to air pollution.
Well, of course don't burn them, but I don't understand how turning my leaves into compost is going to save a chipmunk.
It won't.
Not all of this is about the chipmunks.
And I don't really want chipmunks setting up habitats in my front yard.
They're so cute.
Well, I have to tell you, of my chores when I was a kid, mowing the lawn and then raking the leaves, that was my least, because you got to get them to the street so the truck can get them.
Yeah.
And by the time you've raked the entire yard, I would break the rake because they weighed 38 pounds. And I'm 10. The hell's going on?
Then you jumped in them, though, right?
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Well, I did once. I got a running start, and as I said, I raked them to the curb, and I jumped. And of course, I almost broke my leg. It hit the curb.
Oh.
Which, you know.
See, what you do is you get a stack of cinder blocks.
I see.
And then you put leaves over top of it, and then you invite neighbor kids to go dive into the pile of leaves. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
One of my favorites these days on YouTube is watching dogs play in leaves. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
They freak out.
Love
they it. They go nut. Love. On the other side of the Pretenders, I've got On This Day in History, and coming up, we have the top 27 number one Beatles songs. I will tell you what they are, and then when I get you to the top five, you can take a guess. Pretenders on Mark in the Morning.
History.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
Happy birthday to television sportscaster Al Michaels. He is 71 today. Michaels spent three decades at ABC Sports before moving over to NBC. He is most famously known for his Do You Believe in Miracles call at the 1980 Winter Olympic Showdown.
11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds.
And it was also on this day back in 1933, the first Sunday football game was played in Philadelphia. Charles Manson is 81 today.
Maybe I should have killed 400 or 500 people, then I would have felt better. Then when I felt like I really offered society something. You know, if I wanted to kill somebody, I'd take this book and beat you to death with it, and I wouldn't feel a thing.
Wow.
It'd be just like walking to the drugstore.
Do you feel blame? Are you mad? Do you feel like Wolves Kebab Frantic? Get Frantic.
Oh, you can't argue with that.
Hey, Charlie, happy birthday, brother.
Hey, good thing we're making Pruno today. It's kind of fits.
It was on this day in 2008, a Paula Abdul fan was found dead in their car in front of her home. Would that creep you out or what?
So much.
It would be so weird to find a Paula Abdul fan dead in my front yard.
We didn't notice it, or I didn't, when these songs were hits, but as you listen, she can't sing.
No.
Wait, what do you mean you didn't notice? This was right in the smack wheel of my wheelhouse.
I never noticed it.
It's all through her nose. It's not good. A little pitchy for me, dude. Dog.
All right, now guess the year. The very first drive-through banking facility opens at the Exchange National Bank in Chicago. The year, Andy.
I'm going to say that's 1928.
Gina.
1963.
1946.
Ooh, right in the middle.
Happy birthday to Anne Hathaway. She is 33 today. Ryan Gosling is 35.
Would you just stay with me?
Look at us. We're already fighting.
Well, that's what we do. We fight. You tell me when I'm being an arrogant son of a bitch, and I tell you when you're being a pain in the ass, which you are 99% of the time.
That's Notebook, Gina.
Oh, okay.
Neil Young is 70 years old today.
Too bad his concerts suck.
Watch your mouth.
It is time now for a rousing round of What's Gina Eating? After she does it, first one to guess it at 888-696-1003 wins anything they want from the booty box. So now, for our listening pleasure, Gina will eat.
It might be a pencil.
What's Gina eating? First one gets something from the booty box. And in 30 minutes, we're going to give $1,000 to somebody. It might as well be you. On the other side of business, you're not going to believe what a London bus driver did in full view of anybody watching. That's in 5 minutes on Mark in the Morning. All right. A rousing round of What's Gina Eating? We go to Eddie calling from Eagle Rock. Eddie, what's Gina eating?
Might be carrot.
What did you say?
Carrot?
Wow.
Funny carrot?
Carrot.
Wow. Okay. Carrot. Yes. That is correct, Eddie. Eddie calling from the surface of Neptune. That is correct.
Well
Eddie.
Done,
you get,
Eddie.
You get anything you want from the booty ball. The dude that voiced Charlie Brown. You heard about this?
I sure did.
Homeboy freaked out. He's going to prison.
What?
I'll give you the details of what he's lost his freaking mind. Let's find out what's trending. Here is Miss Gina Grad.
Shall I not give you the details right now?
Yes, save them because
All right. Let me do a quick cut and paste here.
We'll talk about something else while she gets something else ready.
Hold on, I got it. We'll do this. Well, the gum wall in Seattle's Pike Place Market is finally coming down after 20 years. Jess Duggar, you know the Duggar family, they're beloved.
Yeah, quality people.
Yeah, she and her husband just had a baby boy. Any guesses on what they might have named it?
Bugger.
Mark?
Bugger Duggar.
Loser.
Close. Spurgeon.
What? God.
Spurgeon Duggar, apparently.
That sounds like a fish.
After a Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon. And remember the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding? I love this movie. Well, the sequel is finally here, all about Nia Vardalos' character, Tula.
It'll suck.
What?
It'll suck.
I'd rather lose a finger than watch that.
Anyway, yeah. Her daughter's getting married. It's going to hit the theater in March, and I'm very excited. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, we have Andy's baseless, completely baseless,
that
by the way.
That is baseless.
Yep. But first, the Kinks. This is Mark in the Morning.
Kinks, Mark in the Morning. Now, Britain's ITV aired a program Wednesday night that called the nation's favorite Beatles number ones. So all of these, they had 27 of them. Mm-hmm. 27 number ones. Okay. I'm going to blow through number 27 up to number 6, mm-hmm. and then you can guess. Oh, and there's something unique about the top five. Mm. I want to see if you can guess what it is. Okay, here we go. Number 27, The Ballad of John and Yoko. Day Tripper, I Feel Fine, From Me to You, Paperback Writer, Get Back, Lady Madonna. Number 20, Hello Goodbye. 19, Yellow Submarine. 8 days a Week, We Can Work It Out, Ticket to Ride. Number 15, Help, Love Me Do, Can't Buy Me Love, Something, Come Together. Number 10, She Loves You, A Hard Day's Night, The Long and Winding Road, I Wanna Hold Your Hand. Ooh. Number 6, Penny Lane. We are now up to the top five. You people can guess.
Okay.
All right. How about Twist and Shout?
Not here.
Wow.
Yesterday.
Number 2.
Hmm.
Yesterday.
All right. Can we guess again?
Yes, you can.
Hey, Jude.
Yeah. Hey, Jude.
Number 1.
Don't make nice. All right, I think I know the trivia theme.
Let It Be.
Yep, that was my next guess.
Number 3. So you've got 5 and 4 yet to go.
Day in the Life?
Oddly not here. I don't think it was a number 1.
Oh, right.
All right, I'm going against what I think the trivia answer is, but I'm going to say Sergeant Pepper.
Not here. So far, number 1, Hey Jude. Number 2, Yesterday. Number 3, Let It Be. You've got 4 and 5 yet to go.
She's So Heavy?
No.
All right. Obla di obla da.
Not here.
Let's see here. Eleanor Rigby.
Number 4. You got one more at number 5. Number 1, Hey Jude. Number 2, Yesterday. 3, Let It Be. 4, Eleanor Rigby. And number 5.
Is it Lady Madonna? Or did you already say that?
No, Lady Madonna is number 10.
I'm
sorry, 21.
I really hope it's not this, but Ticket to Ride.
No, okay, Ticket to Ride is number 16.
I think the trivia... Can I say what I think the trivia thing is?
Yes, you can.
I think it's that they're all Paul McCartney Beatles songs.
The top five.
Which makes me wonder what the biggest one is. I don't know. I'm thinking Obla Di Obla Da.
I said that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I Want to Hold Your Hand. No, that's...
I can't believe I Want to Hold Your Hand wasn't in the top five.
I'm going to give it to you because I've got to give Andy a few extra minutes for the bass
list.
Are you ready?
Jackie?
No,
number,
I'm kidding.
Number 5. And Andy is correct. The first 4 were written by Paul.
Well, you know what I thought the trivia was, and I guess it kind of is. It's just not what we meant to do. They're all later. None of them are early Beatles songs.
Which is, you know,
not early pop songs.
Crazy. Okay, at the top of the hour, we're going to give somebody $1,000, $3,000 a day, and it might as well be you. In 5 minutes after business, Andrew continues his top bass players of all time with number 10 through number 6. That is 5 minutes away here on Mark in the Morning.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble.
That's right. We're cutting down Andy's top 15 classic rock bass players of all time. Once again, it's not riffs or songs. It's about the body of work here. And defining classic rock, we say that their primary work completed 25 years ago or prior. And there are a lot of great bass players since then. Just imagine all of them and all of the ones that I've left off this list that you love came in at number 16. Number 10 on the list is a man whose name kind of sounds like a realtor, Larry Graham. But with a bass in his hand, he sounds like an innovator. There's Larry with Sly and the Family Stone, which he was in from 66 to 72. Slap. Funky. Then later, he was with another outfit that he fronted called Graham Central Station.
I get it.
Listen to this. Gotta drop this on Linda, Mark. So that slapping sound? This guy invented it. He calls it thumping and plucking. The music world calls it a whole new sound palette for the instrument. He came up with it as a kid when he was in his mom's band because sometimes they didn't have a drummer, so he did this percussive stuff as well. But Bootsy Collins, Flea, Les Claypool, all of them owe a debt of gratitude to Larry Graham, number 10 on our list. Oh, it's so good. All right, moving on. Number 9 belongs to a bass player that played in the first Electric Power Trio.
Yeah.
Here's the late Jack Bruce. So Jack's another player who played the not for the lighthearted bass lines while also singing.
It's getting near dawn.
Let me tell you a couple of things you might not know about Jack Bruce. Do you know he was trained as a classical cellist?
Huh.
He played piano, harmonica as well. And think about this. Rolling Stone magazine, this is a great way to sum up his impact and why he's their eighth greatest bass player a few years ago. They say, quote, most musicians would have a very hard time distinguishing themselves if they wound up in a band with Eric Clapton and Ginger Baker. Jack Bruce was so gifted on the bass, he did it with ease.
I've been waiting so long.
Plus, he has two first names.
Yeah. And he wrote some of Cream's best songs like Sunshine of Your Love, White Room, and I Feel Free. We lost Jack Bruce just a little over a year ago. He's number 9 on this list. Okay, so the 8th best classic rock bass player of all time is Donald Duck. Wait, hold on, let me finish. Donald Duck Dunn is the man's name. He also passed away 3.5 years ago, but he left behind a legacy of bass brilliance. I can't spend enough time on him, but let's start with this classic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he played on this.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away.
He's doing exactly what's necessary.
I'm sitting on the dock of the bay.
Played on that classic, and he played on this classic. In fact, he's a session player at Stax Records in Memphis. So when guys like Sam and Dave record, Duck Dunn's what's thumping behind it.
Wow.
We might need another Sam and Dave here.
I want everybody to get up off your seat.
All right.
And get your arms together, and hands together, and give me some
good
of
advice.
That old soul clapping. You didn't have to love me like you did, but you did.
Listen to that bass.
You did, and I thank you.
This is a funky boy.
You didn't have to squeeze me like you did.
But you know, Duck was part of a band himself. You might have heard of the band Booker T and the MGs.
Oh, wow. This is hot. Jesus.
This makes me want to pull a casino heist.
Yeah, I should have put him higher on the list now that I'm listening to all this. Forget everything I said. But you know, Duck's demand doesn't go away after the 60s and 70s. He's still a very highly sought-after session musician. As a matter of fact, this is him right here playing on Stevie Nicks' solo debut single.
Wow. Jesus. Yeah, dude, this sounds like top five to me.
It's really good.
I'm glad Mikey's not in the room today, not yapping over all this.
Oh, no, I'm right here, Mark.
Yeah, I thought so.
I was going to say how great Waddy Wachtel's guitar is in this. So you got one of the best guitarists and bassist on this song, and singer.
Baby, you come knocking on my front door.
Just driving it.
I'll drive it.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Duck Dunn is number 8. Moving on to number 7. 7 on our list is a name most people don't even know. Yet, he's played on the bass on over 70 R&B number 1 hit records. He's played bass on 30 number 1 pop songs. The reason you don't know his name, Motown Records didn't list musician credits until 1971. Wow. So, James Jamerson is better known as one of the Funk Brothers.
Mm.
On songs like Ain't No Mountain High Enough, What's Going On by Marvin Gaye.
Wow.
And this one by Marvin, I Heard It Through the Grapevine. Now, this is the Christian, well, first one he broke down.
Yep.
And Christian slipped me this solo track of James. Remember this from the first dissection? I chose this one for pretty good reason.
I still feel like that was my favorite dissection. Maybe it's because it was the first, but man, I have a new appreciation for this.
Yep.
Plays exactly what he needs and nothing else. Listen to this. Let's drop in the rest of it. You just hear that bass line, you know what the song is.
Mm-hmm.
You might be saying, Andy, okay, this isn't the top Motown bass player list. James Jamerson is the Motown bass player list. And rock bass players who cited James Jamerson as an influence include John Entwistle of The Who, Jack Bruce of Cream, John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin, Paul McCartney, Flea, Jason Newsted. Everybody says that James Jamerson is one of the greatest. And he is. He's number 7 on our classic rock bass player list of all time. And our final addition today to the list is number 6, George Roger Waters. This is 7-4 time he's playing here, my friend. 7-4. Give extra points to people who help push the classic rock ball down the field a little bit. Roger Waters earns it. One of the most recognizable bass riffs in all of rock and roll right there. Even young school children know Pink Floyd's Money. It's jazzy, it's finessed. But Roger isn't always that way. Sometimes he's creepy.
Sometimes?
Sometimes he's downright bluesy.
And sometimes he's a complete ass.
Thank you for that. And sometimes he is an ass. That's true. But he's always theatrical. He's playing this bass inside your skull. And so we install Roger Waters of Pink Floyd at number 6. On this list of Andy's top 15 classic rock bass players of all time. And we have the top 5 tomorrow at 7:50.
I have a comment about tomorrow.
Okay.
My comment is this. I won't say her name, but one of the top 5 is a woman.
It is.
And if it isn't.
It is.
Okay.
Nice.
I'm just saying.
Interesting.
In fact, I think it vies for number 1.
Well, you're wrong.
Hey, you're coming off creepy there, dude. All right, let's find out who won $1,000. Your name, please.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
What's your name?
My name is Joey.
Joey, why did you call today?
For the grand.
Joey, you have just won $1,000.
Oh, you so sweet. Very nice. Thank you. Oh, nice. Listen to you guys every morning. I'm a driver. I listen to you guys every morning.
Hit a tunnel.
I love you guys as well.
Well, Joey, congratulations. $1,000 is yours. What you going to do with it?
Pay some bills.
Hell yeah. I feel
well, Joey,
yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 44.
Married with kids?
No.
Yeah, it's overrated. I wouldn't do it. If you haven't yet, just don't.
That's what I've been told.
Joey, congratulations and enjoy your $1,000.
Thank you.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
Todd Donahoe Sports is brought to you by his friends at Frontier Toyota. Todd, go.
Great morning to you this morning, Mark, and to Andy and Gina and the ships at sea. Let's start with the NFL. This was a neat thing. The city, St. Louis, Oakland, and San Diego, made their plea to NFL officials in New York saying, you know, they want to keep their teams. You know, passion pleas. They want to keep their teams. Now, it's the next meeting is going to be December 2nd when owners will meet, and they'll outline the steps for applying for these cities to transfer, for I should say not the cities, but NFL franchises to transfer to Los Angeles so that possibly they could have an application to file to move in January, and then the owners would vote in February or March on a team or the teams that would move to Los Angeles for next year. You know, here's one thing that nobody's doing, though. Is anybody asking Los Angeles, what team do you want?
They want the Rams.
I was going to say the same thing. I mean, look, I don't think the people do you want the Chargers?
Nope.
Do you want the Raiders back?
No. Now,
I know Mike's going, sure. But I think if there's one team out there they want back, it would be the Rams. That's my gut feeling, but so be it.
I'm not. I wasn't even here, you know, in the early 90s and before. I want the Rams.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Rams and Raiders were not supported very well in their final years anyway. But I just think that there's more of a connection to the Rams, certainly historical connection, than any other franchise. But nobody here's the deal. They're asking the owners. They're asking the other cities. Why don't they ask the fans, if you want a team, which one do you want?
Well, I mean, first of all, who wants to go to a football game at the Coliseum? Look, it had its day and it was great, but it's a crappy place to watch a current NFL football game.
Apparently, a lot of USC fans like to go watch games at the Coliseum. I've always enjoyed going to the Coliseum, always enjoyed going to the Rose Bowl as well. But so be it. You know, I guess in the NFL now you have to have a brand spanking new stadium that costs lots of money. So hey, moving on now to the NBA. And because obviously we're going to have Sam coming up here on the Slam in about 40, 45 minutes. So we'll leave most of the NFL talk there. So let's go to the NBA and the Clippers lost to Dallas last night. 118 to 108. Every time DeAndre Jordan of the Clippers touched the ball, he was booed. That's, of course, because he was going to go sign with Dallas as a free agent and then changed his mind and backed out at the last second and stayed with the Clippers. So the fans there still remember that. They have long memories. And the Lakers lost on a buzzer beater to Orlando, 101 to 99. But Lakers are 1 and 7.
Kobe season's over, Danny.
It is. I mean, look, Kobe didn't play. He's got back issues. And the number two pick in the NFL NBA draft, D'Angelo Russell, the Lakers' first-round draft pick. He had one of his better games last night, 14 points and 3 assists. But when you are the number one pick, I mean, or number one, two, or three pick, you should be an instant success in the NBA. Take Carl Anthony Towns, the number one pick for Minnesota. He's averaging 16 points, 10.5 rebounds a game. That's good. Jahlil Okafor, the guy the Lakers passed up, and he went to Philadelphia. He's averaging 20.6 points a game and 7 rebounds. D'Angelo Russell is averaging 9.3 points, 2.6.
See, but I think the Lakers are having a great season.
For me to poop on.
All right, Andy. Calm down.
Hey, Major League Baseball, the Dodgers hire a new announcer, Joe Davis. He's only 27 years old, to join the broadcast team next season. And perhaps that's, you know, in anticipation that next season will be Vin Scully's final season in the broadcast booth, 67 years in the Dodger broadcast booth. And here's a sad one here. I always loved Lou Brock, Hall of Famer for the St. Louis Cardinals, one of my favorite players growing up. 938 career stolen bases. He had 118 stolen bases in 1974, which was the record at that time. But he had his leg amputated below the knee, had an infection, has diabetes. He's 76 years old, so Lou's got a long rehab to do, certainly. But when you think of a guy as gifted as he was with his legs, I think that's kind of a sad story.
One of the fastest men ever to play baseball.
Absolutely so quick. What a base stealer. You don't see very many base stealers anymore. And obviously, there's nobody playing the game today that could steal a base like Lou Brock could. And finally, Edmonton beats the Ducks 4-3 in overtime. The Ducks 5-7-4 on the season. Hey, that's it in sports. Don't forget, Frontier Toyota wants to invite you to the dealership for the Why Wait sales event. It's all happening right now at Frontier Toyota. Check them out at FrontierToyota.com.
Todd, as always, good job. We'll see you tomorrow.
We're going to do the Slam, right, today?
Oh, yeah, and by the way, Sam is going to be calling us from the street in New York in front of NFL headquarters the meetings are. On the other side, in 5 minutes, let's open the topic, what did you steal as a kid? Now, I have one, and Gina's got one, and we invite you to call us, you home and car listeners, 888-696-1003. What did you steal as a kid? This is Mark in the Morning.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Disneyland is 60, and so is Mark. And I want you to come to my 60th birthday party at Disneyland Resort, December the 8th. It's going to be epic because we're going to run around both Disneyland and Disney California Adventure all day. And then when everybody else leaves, we stay and party. Woo! It's going to be a great time of the year to be at Disneyland Resort. The happiest place on earth gets even merrier November 13th through January 6th with special holiday touches everywhere. Like, it's a small Small World holiday at Disneyland Park. Find out how to get an invitation for yourself to the party by texting PARTY to the number 21003. Messaging and data rates apply. That's PARTY to 21003. On the other side of Rhiannon, we asked the question, what did you steal as a kid? And the phones are packed. That's right after Rhiannon on Mark in the Morning. Rhiannon, Fleetwood Mac, Mark in the Morning. Question on the board, what did you steal as a kid? And I'm glad it happened to me. There was a little dime store between my house and my school, and I would stop in there most days and get a Coke or get whatever. And so one day, I'm seven, and I'm in there, and I'm buying a candy bar, and I just took a piece of bubble gum, and I just slipped it in my pocket on the other side from where the guy was standing behind the counter. So I go up, and I put my money up for the candy bar, and I'm walking away, and he goes, aren't you going to pay for that bubble gum? And so I took the nickel out and put it up there, and I'm walking away. And as I'm opening the door, he said, you're not allowed back in here.
Aww.
And it was devastating to me. Mm. And I've never stolen anything since.
Wow.
Gina, you?
Well, mine was pretty traumatic. We were very little, walking with our parents through Chinatown, I think in Chicago, and my brother leans over to me and says, hey, if you steal some walnuts, there was like a big bin of nuts, if you steal some, I'll steal some. And I said, okay, because you do whatever your big brother does. So I put some in my pocket, and I'm holding some in my hand. We go outside. My mom goes, Gina, what's in your hand? And I go, I opened it, and my brother, who didn't steal anything, backs up and goes, Gina, what did you do? And I immediately, my little lips started quivering, and my eyes filled up, and I just burst into tears, and thank God my parents thought it was hilarious. And like, it's okay, go put it back, it's fine.
Let's go to Mark. He's calling from Pico. Mark, what did you steal as a kid?
I stole money. I grew up being raised as one of Jehovah's Witnesses, so I'd go door-to-door peddling the magazines. And I felt, as I got older, that the money that I would receive for those magazines was compensation for the torture of not being able to celebrate holidays.
Are you still a Jehovah's Witness, Mark?
Oh, no. They kicked me out of that long time ago.
Very funny, Mark. Thanks. Let's go to Eddie on line two. He's calling from Santa Ana. Eddie, what did you steal as a kid?
Oh, I stole my dad's emergency stash, about $4,500.
Oh my God,
dude!
And
wow.
I was about 13 years old. We were living down in Nogales, Arizona, and I got in trouble with my sister, and I threw a knife at my sister, and my dad beat the crap out of me.
You're and, a bad boy.
Tell me about it.
He stole his father's $4,500
for the weekend, and they left me home alone, grounded. And I knew where the stash was, and I took it, and I took off from the house. I was outbound for about a couple of days till my brothers found me, and I got another beatdown.
Well, you deserved it. $4,500 from his father, wow. And he threw a knife at his sister.
Yeah.
Good God, you belong in prison. Let's go to Debbie. She's calling from Brea. Debbie, what did you steal as a kid?
Well, I was calling to say my son stole a bunch of stuff every friggin' time the phone rang. But now that I hear you guys talking, I did steal jewelry right after the Brea Mall was open. I mean, the whole mall wasn't even open yet. I was in high school. This was like 80-something.
Smash and grab?
Early 80s. And my friend said, hey, let's go in and steal some earrings. Okay, you do this and I'll do that. Well, I stole, just kind of like Gina's story, I stole the earrings. She didn't. I get busted. Go to the police station.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
She threw me under the bus, and my dad, I was not allowed. He didn't let me go to the Tom Petty concert. We had tickets to go to Tom Petty, and I couldn't go.
Tell your father excellent work.
Oh, my God.
That is excellent work. Let's go to
punishment.
Scott. Let's go to Scott from Murrieta. Scott, what did you steal as a kid?
My buddy and I, we were about 13 years old at the time, and his dad had one of those little two-seater Fiat X19. So about midnight, we pushed it out into the street and started it up and took off and did a bunch of joyriding, actually raced it a couple of times. Then when we returned home, we found a San Bernardino County Sheriff car parked at the driveway where we were supposed to park.
Uh-huh.
And luckily, my dad is at work. Because he was a cop for L.A. County, and so he wasn't there, but my mom showed up. Otherwise, I would have received a good old-fashioned ass-whooping.
You know, I love that. He's the son of a cop, and he's out doing that. And I learned early on in high school, if you want the best chick in the school, date the pastor's daughter.
Mm.
She's just looking for something.
Yeah, let's go to Chris from Long Beach. Chris, what did you steal as a kid?
Yeah, Mark, I had an older friend living in the neighborhood who was a bad influence, and we would go over to Genco, which was Target at the time, per se, and we would go and switch price tags. We would take a $30 item and a $10 item and just switch the tags, so we would end up not really stealing. We'd pay, but we'd get about a 40, 50, 60% discount.
Did you get caught?
No. Only did it the one time.
Oh, God.
Well, dude, if you didn't get caught, why don't you go back and do it again?
Oh, God.
I had a caught.
Let's go to Walton. Last one. Walton from Long Beach. What did you steal as a kid?
How you doing, Mark? I was 8 or 9 years old, and I got caught stealing some Kiss cards when I was a little kid. And the lady was watching me the whole time, and then she waited for me to step out. She grabbed me, smacked my hands so hard. And the whole time she's lecturing me, my brothers and my friends are stuffing their pockets with the rest of the cards, emptying out the entire box.
You were the fall guy.
Yeah, exactly. I was the smallest one, too.
That's hysterical. Andy, did you have one?
Yeah, I went to a Catholic school, and the nuns, when they don't like you, they call you Mr.
Uh-oh.
I was always Mr. Chanley. And apparently I was talking in the back of class or something, and Sister Barbara Marie, who was just a bitch, she locked me in the art cupboard.
What?
For 2 hours one day because I was talking. I said something to someone like, can I borrow a pencil?
You got locked in a closet?
I got locked in the art cupboard. So guess who never had to buy art supplies again? I filled my book bag with all kinds of paper and pencils. Best thing that ever happened to me. She was nasty.
Hate of the Catholic bitch. All right, we'll slice off business shortly. We're going to make Pruno, which is, I had never heard this term. I learned it yesterday for the first time. This is prison liquor.
Yeah,
and
prison
we're
going
to make it. And it's got to ferment for like a week.
Yeah.
So we're going to make that. And then we've got the Pro Football Slam at 5 minutes till. Remain where you are. This is Mark in the Morning. Now, nobody is a bigger fan of the movie Back to the Future than Danny is. And I'll explain this. Danny apparently has a fun fact about the movie and today. Danny is such a fan, he went on the internet and he bought the shoes that Michael J. Fox was wearing in the movie.
Yeah.
I had him put them on and they light up. So Gina, turn the lights out.
All right, hold on. All right.
And call Danny in so he can tell us the fun fact.
Come in.
All right, today's...
Are his shoes going?
They're lit up.
Let me see.
Awesome.
Let me see.
My shoes are lit up.
Nice.
There we go. UFOs on the ground.
Now, at 10.04 p.m. tonight will be the 60th, the diamond anniversary of Hill Valley's famous clock tower getting struck by lightning.
Wow.
Yeah, that was November 12th, 1955. There is your Back to the Future fun fact.
Nice work. All right, let's find out what's trending. Here is Gina Grant.
Danny, leave the lights off. Well, waitstaff at Joe's Crab Shack no longer have to fear the wrath of bad tippers because the restaurant chain is testing out doing away with tipping altogether. Bloomingdale's has come under fire for a Christmas ad that appeared to encourage men to spike their female friends' drinks. The ad is a picture of a man looking at a very distracted woman while she's laughing with the tagline, "Spike your best friend's eggnog when they're not looking."
What were they thinking?
Yeah, they've since apologized.
I mean, God.
Yep. And the famous $6 Superiority Burger, which is totally vegan, by the way, has just been named the best burger in the world.
Wait,
by GQ Magazine.
Where's this?
I don't know. I have to look. It's called the Superiority Burger. Actually, it's in England.
Oh, okay.
It's 4 pounds.
I'll book my flight.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, we're making Pruno. But first, the outfield. This is Mark in the Morning.
Piece of candy for my stupid brother.
Now, this is just, to me, bizarre. Peter Robbins, the former child actor who was the voice of Charlie Brown in the 60s, has pleaded guilty to making criminal threats and will serve 4 years in prison.
Wow.
Robbins, whose voice is heard in the classic TV specials A Charlie Brown Christmas and It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, is accused of threatening to harm the manager of a mobile home park and also offering $50,000 to have the San Diego County Sheriff killed. He blames his actions on his struggles with bipolar and schizophrenia. In 2013, he pleaded guilty to making threats against his former girlfriend and her plastic surgeon and was given 5 years probation.
You know what I think happened?
What?
I think that the Peanuts character children are so awful that all those years of being called a blockhead, I think, really did a number on his psyche.
That does sound like what it must be. Absolutely true. Okay, who's in the mood to make prison wine?
We are!
I am!
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
And Andy, explain to everybody why you're playing this particular song.
Because Gina came up with a name for our particular brand of Pruno, or prison wine, Folsom Prison Booze.
Thank you very much.
Nice.
Nicely
Thank
done
you.
To you.
Thank you.
Now, Josh, who is the assistant to Dave Beezing, is the one that wanted to do this. Josh, why do you know how to make prison liquor?
Well, first off, I just want to say I don't really think this was my idea. I think that this was a form of divine intervention because we still can't figure out where the idea came from.
I remember exactly what happened. Danny has a letter from a prisoner at a prison. He's looking at it, and Josh runs next door. Hey, did you guys say prison wine?
Mark, I wanted you to start having a pen pal relationship with a prisoner. And I wanted to, so every few minutes it says, you're receiving a call from the maximum security facility. Wow. Yeah. And then Josh goes, wait a second.
We share a common wall, and I just hear prison wine. And I sprinted off of my desk and was like, are we making prison wine? Please say this is happening. And that's where it started from.
So he collected all the ingredients.
So I Googled prison wine recipe.
Best practices. And,
Martha Stewart.
And I found a couple of them, and they all kind of had the same thing in common. And so I just took the first one, and then me and Danny just, we scrounged around the office to see if we could actually find all the stuff that we needed in the building, which we did.
Wow. You mean everything that's needed to make Pruno you found in the sound in the building?
We found 90% of it. We had to get we stole 4 oranges from the fridge and 2 pieces of bread
and some ketchup.
And but so we had to go downstairs and buy 4 more oranges. And
okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a commercial break, get everything ready, and when we come back, we're going to put it together, and then it's got to sit for a week or ferment.
Yeah.
6 days, 6-7 days. Okay. In my office.
So,
it's going to smell right.
Yeasty.
Wake the kids, call the neighbors. We're making liquor. Come back, we'll make Pruno here on Mark in the Morning.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Well, if you just joined us, we're about to make us some prison liquor. Josh, who is Dave Beezing's assistant, is in here. He and Danny have assembled all of the elements needed to make the liquor, and we're going to put it together right now. Josh, guide us through.
All right, so we're going to take the main ingredient first, which is the oranges that are already peeled by Danny, 4 which we took from the fridge, okay. 4 from the deli downstairs. We're going to throw those into a gallon bag.
By the way,
bag.
This is all being periscoped right now on Mark in the Morning, at the Mark in the Morning Periscope.
So the oranges, that's the fuel for fermentation. They will ferment.
Yeah.
It's an orange-based spirit, if you will.
All right, Danny, really get those going in there.
So Danny's separating them right now.
I should have washed my hands.
Don't worry about it.
They didn't.
Kidding.
All right. So he almost has those. You know, his juice is flying.
All right, it's in the bag.
Okay, it's in the bag. Next step is 2 big cans of fruit cocktail, which we got from downstairs. That was another thing that we couldn't.
You didn't
find.
Trade for like 2 packs of cigarettes.
Speaking of cocktail,
this is going everywhere. Sharon's gonna kill you.
Speaking of cocktail, don't drop the soap.
Hey, we have a.
All right,
we need a bigger bag.
That's what she said.
Okay, now we have this will create the alcohol. This is the 60 sugar cubes.
All right, dump. Do you
need to
hold the bag up?
Well, that's what's going to feed the yeast.
Yes. And then it creates ethanol.
Convict Cointreau we're making here.
All right, the bag is barely holding this.
It is full.
We need a bigger bag.
Again, all this is on Periscope.
Mark in the morning periscope.
Okay, so the
prunoscope.
The next thing is we're going to add, we want a little bit of a vinegary bite to this. So we're going to add 4 packs of ketchup, which came from my desk. One of them is Heinz, and the other 3 are generic. So
let's see if we can taste the difference. All right, Danny, squeeze. Okay, this is disgusting. Danny's squeezing ketchup all over sugar cubes right now.
And then the last ingredient is the yeast, which we got from someone's sandwich. Whoever had a ham sandwich yesterday, I'm sorry, but we needed the 2 slices of bread. Come see me, I'll reimburse you.
This is a terrible time for Dave Beesing to walk by just now,
all right,
by the way.
Now, all of this is jam-packed in a gallon bag, and it just is repulsive looking. And Dave's shaking up, and he's going to close, seal it up, and just mash it all together.
Hold it. Before you do
that smells so bad.
You got to get the tarp out for this. Before you mash it up.
It's a little late for that.
Yeah.
Be very careful. Hold it over a bucket.
I'm going to throw up. It smells so bad.
Don't point it at me.
Okay. Danny, who's now wearing a Lakers bandana and has Mark in the Morning 1003 tattooed on his hand.
Double bag that.
Punching the bag.
Double bag that. That's going to be a horrible mess.
It's going to go all over me.
All right. So when he's done with all this and makes it into a slurry, we're going to put it in warm water in a bucket in my office and then burp it once a day to let all the gas out. And in a week, we're going to have a fine Mark in the Morning cocktail.
By the way, Mark, we had full phones at one point with people being like, hey, don't ask any questions, but just know I know how to make this.
Double bag.
I'm telling you.
Quick.
It's leaking. Help me. Lots of people have already called to give us advice on how to do this. Josh says he has it covered.
Yeah, a shocking number of people know how to make prison drinks.
And Jackie came in to say something about it, and Josh goes, I know how to do it.
Josh shut it down right away. All right, we double bagged it. Danny's continuing the punching process.
Oh, God. We're making liquor, prison liquor, and we're damn proud of it. On the other side of Running with the Devil, we have got the Pro Football Slam with Sam. Here's Van Halen on Mark in the Morning.
That combination of words has never been said before in the English language.
All right. It is time now for the Pro Football Slam with Sam Farmer. He covers the NFL for the Los Angeles Times. It is brought to you by our friends at AmcoSocal.com and our friends at Frontier Toyota, where somebody is going to win a Corolla S+.
Mark.
Yes.
Danny is still working very hard, squishing all of this together.
Danny, can you squish outside?
Can you squish outside? He wants
I got
to
a
know.
Slam to do. Now, Sam is joining us from the street outside the NFL headquarters on Park Avenue in New York. Is the meeting later today, Sam?
No, actually, the meeting just broke. I just talked to Clark Hunt, the owner of the Chiefs, and Jerry Richardson, owner. In fact, I told Jerry I'll be down there in Carolina staying in my suite on Lake Norman. And so we're going to meet once I come down. But, yeah, it's the L.A. committee meeting today after yesterday's meeting, which was 3 committees, and it's all focused on which teams will be allowed to move to L.A. And so...
Is there any progress in that?
There is some progress. You know, the Chargers and Raiders announced yesterday that if they win, then Bob Iger, the head of the Walt Disney Company, is going to run their project. And so they are claiming that he can recreate Disneyland, the NFL version of Disneyland in Carson. So there's progress there. But there's also an indication I'm getting from owners that the original plan to have a vote on this in January could slide into March or potentially even be postponed until next year, which would upset a lot of fans if the league didn't make a decision on this.
Mark, can I ask Sam a real quick question? And
please.
Sam, this is we kind of talked about this earlier in the sports segment. That is, nobody's asking the fans in L.A., hey, which team would you like to have? Which team would you like to support? As you have your finger on the pulse of the NFL as well as the city of Los Angeles, which of the 3 franchises do you think would be most embraced by the fans of Los Angeles?
Well, I would rule out the Chargers from the start. I don't think they move the needle in Los Angeles. They'd really have to make their own inroads from scratch. And ironically, that's the one team that actually started in Los Angeles as the LA Chargers. But I would say it divides down the middle between Raiders and Rams fans. I think the Rams might have more appeal to corporate America. As I've said before, you'd have to change the Raiders from the Hells Angels into the Pirates of the Caribbean. And maybe they got the right guy in Bob Iger to do that, because they got a Disney guy to do that, to make them appealing. So, I think the Rams at Inglewood, if you're going to pick something that's going to be most successful, that's probably your bet.
Well, the problem with the Raiders is that their fans have a stench to them. And if we have them in L.A., it's just going to permeate all over the city.
Unlike Panthers fans.
We smell like victory. All right. Let's now, everybody go to markinthemorning.com and get your picks made. And if you're just hearing about this, this is your chance to win a Corolla S Plus from Frontier Toyota. It doesn't matter that you're starting in week 9. We have a winner each weekend if you make the most correct picks. So go to markinthemorning.com. You click on the banner and make your picks. All right, here we go. There are 3 games and then Sam's lock of the week. First of all, we have Buffalo at New York Jets. That is tonight's Thursday night game. Sam.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to this game. I like Buffalo. I like Rex Ryan coming back and winning at the Jets. Jets, I feel like Buffalo, even though LeSean McCoy has been banged up, I think the Bills are going to win here.
Todd.
I like the Jets. I think the Bills are too banged up to win. I'll take the home team.
Andy.
I like Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor, man, he's really coming into his own in this year. Nobody thought he'd be this good. I think they find a way to edge it out.
I agree on the exact same note. Tyrod Taylor has put together.
He's a baller. Yeah,
he is. He can throw. He can run. He's getting smarter. I'll go with Buffalo. Next game is Minnesota at Oakland. Sammy.
I like Oakland here. Even though Minnesota's been playing really well, Teddy Bridgewater's banged up. The Raiders have a lot of dynamic stars, and they're home. I'll take the Raiders.
Real quickly, and Mikey, I hope he's listening. I noticed this yesterday. I was watching the replay of the Oakland game. If somebody was going to make a movie about Elvis as an NFL quarterback, the actor that would be chosen is the guy who is the quarterback. When he's
Derek
got his
Carr.
Helmet on,
Derek
he
Carr.
Looks like Elvis
yeah.
for some reason.
Yeah.
Todd, Minnesota at Oakland.
Yeah, I'm going with Oakland. I'll tell you something. I think Oakland's one of the surprise teams of the year in a positive way. I thought they were going to be awful. They're not awful.
Andy.
Oh, man, I think I'm going to have to take the Raiders.
Okay. Teddy Bridgewater is going to play. He passed concussion.
Is he? He passes protocol?
Yeah. Mm. Or at least that's what they're saying. Chances are strong that he'll play.
I still like Oakland at home, though.
Okay, I'm going Oakland. Arizona at Seattle.
I like Arizona. 2 years ago, they won at Seattle. I think they're going to be able to run and pass on this team, and the Cardinals are for real.
Could we actually look at one season where Seattle loses 2 home games?
Well, I think this would be the team to do it with that offensive line and Russell Wilson running for his life.
Todd.
I'm going with Seattle, the home team. 12 men against 11, 12 wins. Seattle 24-21 over Arizona in a good game.
Andy.
Arizona's got too many weapons, and they've got the right attitude. I think Seattle is on their heels. I'm going with Arizona.
I'm going with Arizona as well. Before I do lock, Gina, what is your pick of the week?
I got a great pick of the week, one that'll make Josh Fleeger over there very happy. Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown. Damn! Have you guys seen this guy? He is one fun man. Steelers all the way, baby.
All right, Sam, it is time for the lock of the week. You've got Kansas City at Denver.
Okay, I know. I have to get back on track, all right? I think, like the Broncos, I got to get back on track with my lock. I do like the Broncos in this game. Bouncing back from that Indianapolis loss and the defense returning to form against the Chiefs, who were kind of punchless at this point.
Sam, we talked a lot about the NFL putting a team in L.A., and I'm out of time. Even though I'd love to hear Farmers Field, we're going to have to spread short because I got to move ahead. So you're going to go to that game. Then are you back in L.A. next week?
Yes, I'm back. I got my weekend. I'll tell you about what the Archie Manning I'll have some stories from that next week.
All right, if anything nuts happens at the game tonight with Buffalo and New York, give us a call on the show tomorrow so you can tell us about it.
That sounds great. I definitely will.
All right, we'll see you soon, Sam.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, see ya.
Coming up next hour, we've got Mike TV. We also have Gina's having some cavities worked on, and there's a dental assistant that is called to help out. And we speak with Grace Slick. That's all in the next hour. We pause now for station identification. This is Mark in the Morning. Let's find out what's trending. Here is Gina Grant.
Well, taking the heat off his own head of hair, Donald Trump has now accused Hillary Clinton of wearing a wig. A Tennessee attorney who was in court to accept a plea deal apologized to his wife for trying to kill her three times. One of those times, poisoning her toothpaste.
I want to go back to the Hillary thing.
Yeah.
If she were wearing a wig, her hair would look a lot better.
Oh, well, that was kind. And a new study says that drinking three glasses of champagne every day can help prevent the onset of dementia and Alzheimer's.
Then okay, six
great. Adams up.
Six will make me a genius.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is John Mellencamp.
That will wrap it for our Thursday. Uncle Joe, what do we have that's tempting for the 10 at 10?
What have you been cooking in this room? It smells like
prison liquor. Oh,
dear God, I grew up on a farm, but really. So here's the deal. Today, Tintillating Thursday, is that what we're calling it?
Yeah.
Triple Play Thursday. The mystery of what we're doing on the 10 at 10 today. This mystery is so deep, even Andy's going to have trouble figuring it out. That's it. There's a theme that we're going to play. 10 songs that all tie into it one way or another. Well, actually, there's only one way. Sounds 10 to 10, supported by CarPros Kia with three locations, Carson, Glendale, and Huntington Beach. Your Kia deal awaits. And a mystery 10 to 10.
Tomorrow, Andy is going to wrap up his bass list, the greatest bass players of all time. And I said to him, there is one thing about the top five that I believe to be a fact, that he better include a woman, because if he doesn't, somebody is going to burn the
stage
down.
Stay out of it.
Okay.
Stay out of it.
We are doing 3K a day. Tomorrow morning at 8 is our first $1,000. Somebody's going to get it. Might as well be you. And it's Friday the 13th. I cannot wait. We have the mascot of Friday the 13th, Superstitious. That's going to come in and give us fun facts about the... And Danny is so pissed about it.
I talked to Superstitious, and he is not happy.
Yeah, reluctant is a word.
It's what makes it so much fun. So anyway, join us for that.
Oh, sure, podcasting is great, but have you heard about this new invention that puts Mark in the Morning directly in your car each weekday morning? Yeah, it's called FM radio. And you'll find Mark in the Morning there on 100.3 FM in Southern California. Thanks for listening.